Put on your red shoes, dance the blues, would you, people?
Sounds great.
It's Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. And look who's on the Super Celebrity Hotline, Marcia Clark. We know her. We love her.
Yes,
she's got a new book out called Moral Defense. And it's an interesting, it's a whodunit, as they like to say. Mm-hmm. Is that an accurate, do you prefer the term whodunit or novel?
Oh, yes, me?
Yes, I'm asking you. You're the author, so I'm going to ask you.
No, I just wasn't sure if you wanted me to answer that. Yeah, you can call it whatever. It's a whodunit. It's a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. A young girl is found alive when the rest of her family was slaughtered in a suburban town called Glendale, California.
Oh, boy.
Any real-life events that behind some of what's in it?
I think there always are. I think there's real life everything behind everything I write, but I just don't, it's not necessarily conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So probably, yeah, hopefully there will be smatterings of things that you'll go, hey, that sounds like, you know, of course, the way I resolve it is, you know, my own, but
yes.
Sure. I just think the real world has to peek through here.
Yes.
Those are the best, aren't they? When you're
yes.
So inspired on...
Right. It's the...
real
it's,
emotions, real, you know, human interactions.
The blink of the unconscious mind, where it's kind
it.
Of
yes.
based on something that really happened or it presages something that's about to happen, and it feels real. All right, now...
well put. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Would you like to put that on... If you get that on the book, maybe on the paperback.
You could say,
Marcia, you can have it. This is like the blink of the unconscious mind.
I love it.
All right, yeah, write that down. UN. All right, now let's. There's speaking of real life things that are going on, and there are quite a number of things. I want to ask you just quickly about. I know we can't get into much of the detail about this situation in Oakland, in mm-hmm. you know your home state of California, but you know we had a similar kind of case here in Chicago with the E2 nightclub. Where a an incident occurred in the early 2000s, where there was a you know overpacked nightclub not up to code here in Chicago, and there was a part of the club that shouldn't have been there should have been nobody in it, and there was somebody in it, and there were a bunch of people in there dancing, and then somebody sprayed pepper spray, and people got all freaked out thinking it was a terrorist attack, and tried to rush for the doors, and a number of people were. Injured and a number more killed, and it was a great tragedy.
People couldn't get out too, as you recall.
Oh my God!
They couldn't get out of the club.
Oh,
and so we've seen a similar thing to what's happened in Oakland with this, rave party.
The warehouse.
Warehouse.
Right? And the AP is now reporting there were no sprinklers. Witnesses on the scene say they didn't hear any fire alarms, smoke alarms, nothing like that. It seems it's pretty clear that things were not up to code. Certainly it wasn't even supposed to be for living or parties. It was supposed to be a warehouse.
So as investigators are moving their way through all of this, you know, you have sort of the twin tasks here of a criminal prosecution, but also civil cases, right? So mm-hmm. it becomes very complicated as people try to gather evidence for both.
Yeah, I mean, what they have to do first things first, we go for the criminal liability, which is the most serious. So they first have to look to see whether there's arson, whether somebody deliberately set the fire. That's got to be ruled out first. And that takes quite some time. It's a very complicated thing, these fire investigations. And an investigation into arson can take months. It's very difficult. So they do that first, and they're, I'm sure, preserving the whole place as a crime scene, and will do for quite some time. Then, if they can rule out arson, then they have to look into whether or not there is still criminal liability based on gross negligence or reckless indifference in the manner in which the building was maintained or the manner in which it was being operated on that day. So you have to look into that second level of criminal liability. And only after that do you get to the issue of civil liability. And that would be, you know, whether the building owner or operators were maintaining it in a manner that was it was not intended to be used for or improperly using it without by violating fire codes, that sort of thing.
And are those criminal charges, Marcia, if they were using, because apparently it was being used as an artist community. There are artists who have been quoted mm-hmm. to say, I lived there, you know, this was a community. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't licensed for that. It wasn't licensed for habitation.
It wasn't, no.
So.
It's pretty troubling. Right. And then a lot of people going crazy now because on his Facebook page, the man who allegedly operates it says, confirmed, everything I worked so hard for is gone. I'm blessed that my children and my wife weren't there. So he talked about his stuff and how they were safe, how his family was safe. And yet the death toll is now at 36. And they think it could even be higher than that as they go in there.
What an idiot.
I know.
That's why they should do away with social media right now and go back to only AM radio. Marsha, I know you support me on this. I know you do.
That's what we should do.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
I'm
all
with you. I'm with you all the way.
Yeah, that's all should be left. I mean, when people start doing stupid things like that. I also want to ask you about this. This is interesting. In South Carolina, a mistrial has just been declared in that case of the police officer who shot the fleeing man. Patrolman Michael Slager, former patrolman, was charged with murder in April of last year. When this 50-year-old guy, Walter Scott, they stopped. The incident occurred where it appeared that Walter Scott and the police officer had struggled over the police officer's taser. Walter Scott had gotten the taser away from him and then started running away from him. And this officer stood his ground and then fired the shots when Walter Scott was about 10, 15 yards away from him. And so the jury deadlocked here because there was a confrontation between the police officer and now the person who's dead. I thought was kind of interesting because I know you guys did this in the Simpson trial. They took the jury out to the scene and they wanted them to see the physical layout and the distance between the police officer and the person who died. And in this particular case, the guy had already dropped the taser halfway between where the two were. You know, it took like 10 steps and then dropped the taser, took five more, and then was shot.
Do they still do that, Marsha? Mm-hmm. They take him out to the crime scene? I just don't hear about that in Chicago so much.
It depends on the case. It's not common, but it's not an unusual step to take when the physical layout becomes important to show how a crime could have been accomplished or how somebody got away without being seen, that sort of thing. When you have an issue in a case that comes down to physical proximity or the physical setup of the crime scene, it can be very advantageous to let the jury see the conditions under which everything happened. I think it was probably a good idea to do here so that the jury could get an idea of how far away the victim was when the officer shot him.
Yeah. Now, in this particular case, now you have a mistrial, deadlocked jury. What is the and it's a heater case, right? Because it's getting national attention. It's getting a lot of attention there. There have been protests. How much pressure is there to bring the case again? And then you're also going to have other pro. You're going to have the Blue Lives side of this too, they're going to argue, hey, you know, we're out there doing this job every day. A guy disarms an officer, now you know, flees him. You know what? Mm-hmm. You know what are we going to do? You're going to hear that argument. So how much pressure will there be to take this back to trial? And what could they even do differently?
Well, there's going to be a lot of pressure to take it back to trial. Primarily, forget about the press and all the media attention. This was an 11-1 for conviction jury. So they had one lone holdout. Well, anytime you have a situation like that, the odds of retrial are very high, and they should be. Unless you are fearful, unless you're losing witnesses for some reason, and you can't put your case back together, which is not going to be a problem for the prosecution in this case, there would be no reason not to retry it. Because that's virtually, you know, a conviction. Other than you can have a lone holdout in almost any case. It just happens that, you know, you have somebody who is, for whatever reason, seeing things very differently than the other 11. And when you have a situation like that, it's an anomaly. And I can't imagine they will not take this case back to trial.
All right, Marsha Clark. The book is called Moral Defense. It is a novel. It's a whodunit. Do people get naked in this book, Marsha?
Well, you're not going to read it if it
they just
happen?
Handed the book to me. I've not read it. I haven't even broken the spine yet, and I just want to know.
Spoiler alert!
Listen, it's a novel. You want to know how there's, you know, people are getting it on. That's all.
I can't tell.
Oh.
I mean, you have to read it and find out.
Oh, come on now.
That's the right answer.
No, you got to. See, you have to entice, Marcia. You have to entice. And that's, oh, yes, it's crazy. Don't read chapter 8. Don't leave it around for the kids to read. Now, that's the kind of thing that you want to hear the author say. I don't know.
I'm excited to read it, though, Marcia.
Yes. All right. Well, would you read it and then tell me if there's
sure.
sex in it?
Sure, I'll give you the cliff notes, and then you can decide if it's juicy enough for you.
And just tell me. If you could just dog ear those pages, and then I'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, you go straight to them.
Yeah, I'll pick it up from there. All right. Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marcia. Good to talk
with
you.
Have a good day.
All right. Marcia Clark, Moral Defense is the book.